Blog Talk Radio.
Well, tonight I want to talk to the body of Christ about the God kind of faith. And I've read many books passing on about the God kind of faith, but as I saw some things that brought me to understanding, many times when we look at many things around us and the sun and the devil will say, you ain't got nothing. And we got to get busy and tell the devil, no, I don't think so. Come on outside. I want to show you something, Mr. Devil. You think you know something. Can you just give me just one micro moment to show you something? And the devil refused to follow us. Why? Because he knows that God has put supernatural substance called faith in us. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So I got my dear friend on, my dear sister. We're just going to talk about this thing about this God kind of faith. Now, question, what do you think the God kind of faith is, my sister?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. I was reading today, Pastor Hunter, about Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And he trusted God so much that when God put him to the test, you know, the scripture says in Genesis 17 that he made this promise to Abraham that he was going to make a covenant with him by giving him and Sarah a son.
Mm-hmm.
He was 99 and she was in her old age, and in the natural they could not even begin to comprehend that they were going to be able to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when you start reading at the 15th verse, God says to Abraham that, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah shall be her name. And he says, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yet I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Wow.
And Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? He was looking at a natural circumstance, and God had made him this great promise about having a son. And God was going to establish his covenant through that son. And so when you go into the 22nd chapter, now he see the son manifest. He know God is not a man and he should lie. And then the first verse in chapter 22 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham.
What do you mean he tempted him? What do you mean by that, he tempted him?
I mean he was trying him. He was testing him.
All right.
And I thought it was kind of interesting that he told him, he said, now I want you to take this son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So he told him to take the covenant son.
My God.
And take him to a... Now, after he's 100 years old and some plus years by then, because Isaac was a young boy then, and he tell him that you go, and he have all his time to fall in love with this child, with this promised child.
Mm-hmm.
And God tell him to go kill him.
My God.
He had faith in God, but God tested him in his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see from chapter 2 where he tell him to go and sacrifice his son. 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto a place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So from, I pondered on that. I wonder what Abraham was feeling or thinking between verse 2 and verse 3. It doesn't mention that he thought anything else. God was testing him, and he was willing to obey.
Well, you know one thing I would say to you, a prophetess, one thing I would say, being a man, he said, well, that's okay. This is me talking.
Okay.
This God who promised me he would protect me, I can't doubt it, not for one inch. I got to believe what he says. Now, I'm really trying to find out, but I know something's going to happen, but it's got to be good for me and what my future is. Me talking. I said, well, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you. But I heard deep down in the archives of my spirit, have the God kind of faith, saying to me still talking, if that's so, I got to be just like God and think like God and act like God. And so to me, that's what was happening to this man. More with that, as he walked to this place, he didn't know what God had said to him, what he's going to do. He didn't even have the slightest idea, but the faith he had in God. And somewhere in the deep down archives, I say in his soul, the Bible, the Word, the Spirit said, have the God kind of faith. That's me talking. I hope it's helping me and somebody to listen.
I believe that, though, because he had experience with God.
Yes.
I mean, from the moment God told him to leave his home.
But never the one we're talking about. He never knew what God was going to say. I want you to make a sacrifice. But he said, I'm going to trust you. That's why I said it's me talking. I've got to have faith. Yes.
Yeah. You have to have that kind of faith. And I believe that faith, though, is going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
You say you have faith in God, but when the test comes,
talk, sister, talk.
Are you still gonna have faith in the God that you knew before the test came?
My God.
His son Isaac looked up and he said, "Well, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?"
Sister, where's the lamb? Where is it?
Where is he? Now that's a prophetic word right there.
That is. Where is it?
Where is the lamb?
Where is the lamb?
For the sacrifice.
Knowing full well what God said. So what God wants us to do is to maximize what he says. Where is the lamb? Not knowing this in the spiritual world, he didn't know it was going to be his only son, but he was showing us an example of what he's going to do with his only son. He had to prove to the devil on this side of Jordan that I have a man can believe in me. Hallelujah, somebody. I have a man named Abraham that can believe in me. I can therefore declare and decree out of Book of Psalms. This is my only, I have begotten my only son. I mean, I hope that makes sense. The only son, the only promised son, Isaac. Now, he had some more coming along, but can you believe that's why I tell everybody? When you take the word of God, look at it closely, because he was a Hebrew, and the Hebrews were one chosen by God. And God has a special place for them in his word. But they sinned like the Gentiles sinned. But God had sent someone to them. He sent Jesus to the whole nation. Can you imagine this, the promised son with Jesus and the Spirit? My God Almighty.
Right. And he was showing us that in the natural. But mm-hmm. look at how Abraham responded to his son. He said in verse 8, he said, and Abraham said, he didn't say, I don't know. I don't have a lamb. He didn't tell him that he was the lamb. His response was, my son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Yes, he did. Yes, that's the key. That's the key.
For a burnt offering.
That's the key.
So they went, both of them together. Even in the way he answered, his response was so careful not to come against what God had said. And he was so willing. He loved God mm-hmm. so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son just to obey God, because he seen what God had done.
Yes.
He saw Sodom and Gomorrah be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He saw how God had delivered and captured him and killed his enemies in this journey of going to this new place or this new land, this land of promise. He knew that about God. But in this instant, like you said, he could have no idea what God was thinking.
Mm-hmm. My God.
And then he was still speaking into the future.
Yes.
God will provide himself a lamb.
I like that.
A God lamb, will.
Yes.
The lamb that would take away the sins of the world.
Yes. My. You know, and the beautiful part about it, it's so ironic that God used us to talk to that about Abraham. He was this man, if I might digress for just a moment. Abraham was Abram, but he was in the land with his father. And his father, he got curious. And he said, the one day with all these gods, he said, well, we got it. The father told him, said, if we don't have all the different gods, we can't have what we have. And Abraham said, what? What happened to the one God, one true God? And I say this, is me talking. I said, well, Lord, if we got to have all these different gods, a God of plenty, a God of fertile, a God of green, a God of this, why come it can't be one God who knows all things? So I believe, this is me talking, I think God probably said to the Son and the Holy Ghost, hey, guys, we got a guy down there on the planet Earth that hears what we're talking about. Can we go down and visit him? And they visited him in the early part. And he told them, take what you got and leave the place. In his obedience, he took his sister with him. He took his family with him. But God, as you said, but God. Made a promise. When God, now I will say this, I'm going to shut up. When God makes a promise, prophetess, he makes a promise to keep it. He makes a promise to keep it. I don't know how somebody feels about it, but when God makes that promise, he promised an eternity. Amen.
Amen. But Pastor Hunter, you know what we have to do?
Yes, ma'am.
When God gives you a word, that settles it.
That settles. I like
you
that.
Have to hold on to what the word that God has spoken to you in
mm-hmm.
your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hide that word in your heart, that when mm-hmm. you do come across a test or when you do come across a challenge, you can always go back and bring God in remembrance of his word.
Yes.
If God said it,
got
now,
to do
Abraham
it.
Didn't know how God was going to do it.
No.
But
no,
he knew that God was going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God told him that his seed was going to be like the sands you could not even number. His legacy, his generation, his people that were going to come through Abraham, through the covenant son.
But you know what, though, sister? if I might just say, now, later on, perhaps God will allow us to talk about the lady called Sarah. Out of her shall be born what? Many kings.
Many kings. Hmm.
Out of that one promise, many kings will be born out of her. That's something to recognize with. See, I always say, put pause and think on that. Many kings. I could be a king and don't know it, but believe what God's word says. Many, we are sons of God. We're ambassadors of God. But the more I see what God is doing, he's interwoving his word into our hearts. More to see what he's saying to us. And one thing I found out, prophetess, more the Lord speaks through all of us, the more he encourages each and everyone. He gives you a great, he downloads you some information as I looked at it, not as deep as you looked at it, but I looked at it. And I'm sitting there, I said, yeah. I done read the Bible many times. See, every time we read the Bible, God refreshes it with every time because the things that were passed and gone is new every day. It's refreshed by his spirit. Amen.
Amen. But you know what? You are a king.
Talk to me.
Because the king dwells on the inside of you.
Amen.
And what
so
did he say? It does not yet appear what you're going to be. We don't even know what's on the inside of us.
We don't know.
But he raised us. Those who are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, royal. Yeah. That represents kingship right there. He done made us kings and priests.
Yes, that's in the book. That's what in the book.
Because the king and the priest lives on the inside of us. We may not be able to see it on the outside, but it takes place on the inside. The kingdom of God is within us because of what he did on Calvary. And he said he promised that he would send us a comforter. He promised that he would send us the Holy Spirit that will be with us to the end of this age. The problem with us is we haven't come to the understanding that we already king. We already the sons and daughters of the Most High God. If we get a revelation of who we are in God, there's no stopping us. Because he also said that greater works shall you do than I've done. But we have to know who we are in God. We have to know the spirit that's on the inside of us. We have to already know that we're kings. We have to already know that we're leaders. We have to already know that God not just had the begotten son, but he wanted other sons.
That's
with
what the
same
Bible
kind of spirit.
That's what the Bible says in Revelation. Yeah.
And the beautiful part about this, Pastor, is he said that we shall be known by our love.
See it.
And that's who God is. God is love. And when we already have that on the inside, when he's put it on the inside of us, we have to allow it to come on the outside where others may be able to see. Let your light so shine before men that they may be able to see your good works and glorify God in heaven, because what they're looking at, they might be looking at you, Pastor Hunter, but what they're seeing is the face of Christ. What they're seeing is the face of God, because if God is love and you walking in love and you living in love and you portraying love and you giving out love, the brighter you become and the person don't see Willie Hunter anymore. They see God. They see the God in you as a son.
You know, the question was raised about the building. Of course, I still believe. I know it's a fight, but God say if you trust me, I'll show you the power. And all I'm doing is just trusting God. I'm walking this by faith. The things I've seen in the last 48 hours, all I can say, prophet, is God, I believe in you. I depend on you. I know you can do what you say you're going to do. But I can fail, but you can't fail because you're God. You said you're going to do it. I'm depending on you to do it because I don't know how to. My mind's not smart enough. My understanding is not wisdom enough. My wisdom is not enough. But you, God, from the beginning of time, you said it's a done deal. My word, it's a done deal. And so when I look at what God is doing closely, that look back, some months ago, I met you face to face. But God gave me a word to give to you. And now look what's happening. God is moving this thing out, not because of what somebody else is saying, she can't do this, she can't do it. God said, no, I know what I got inside of her. I know what I got inside of her. She's like a king living with a queen inside of her. I know what she got because I'm there. I can tell you what's whooshi, bambaha, see. I know what's going on. And that's why I get so excited when I see women and men come together. That's why I keep praising God. That's why I say what God is going to do, revival, revival, revival. The devil is alive. So we declare and decree that the problem is solved now, been solved. But God. My.
Yeah.
And as I was teaching today at 12 o'clock at noontime about the book of John, John says, he says, now listen, brothers, he said, time passed. He said, about the new commandment. He said, I want to show you something. In time past, we heard that God is love. But I want to show you about the new commandment that supersedes the old commandment. God is love. God is love. Now he said, I want you to remember one thing. Love you one another as Christ has loved us. The more I look into what the Lord showed me today, I said, my God Almighty. But it's by here's the key word I said, it's by the Spirit. It's all by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit, not the flesh.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's by the Spirit. So when God put you on that prison turn, it was then the Spirit of God led you to make a great decree. And you decreed and declared, we're right there with you. Now look what God is doing through you. We're not bragging, we're praising you, Father. Because what God is doing right now, some demon is upset. How am I going to stop her? Can't do it. Too late. She's out of the gates. Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Pastor, I'm going to have to share this one with you.
Okay.
I was going through, with Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
And all these obstacles were coming up against me in my family, my home,
mm-hmm.
at the prison, everything coming up against me. And I heard the Spirit say, he said, this is the test of Job.
Yes.
And he said, I need you to pass the test.
Mm.
Because when you pass the test, Pastor, it's going to take you to your next level.
Yes.
The greater anointing depends upon the test that you pass.
Yes.
So just hold on.
Yes.
To what God has said. Like Abraham said, God shall provide
the lamb.
It's not up to you to provide it.
Mm-mm.
He's going to provide it. All you do is walk in obedience and pass the test.
That's it.
All kind of stuff begin to fall apart. Your family fall apart. Your washing machine fall apart. The refrigerator break. The car stop running. People start attacking you coming from every which way. But you stand the test. See, Job was in a test, and you would think that his best friends would encourage him. His wife told him, well, why don't you just go and die and get it over with? But he was determined that if he stayed with God, that everything was going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And the scriptures also said that when the devil steals from you, he got to repay seven times more. If you look beyond the cross and see the joy, you know that the victory is already there. Sometimes we get stuck looking at our pain and our suffering and the crosses that we bear. But there's joy on the other side of that cross.
Mm-hmm.
So you gladly take up the cross and you walk in faith, knowing that faith, your faith cannot fail unless you allow it to.
The God kind of faith.
The God kind of faith.
Wow, that's a good subject. The God kind of faith. Faith that goes beyond man's understanding. It's God's kind of faith. God's kind of faith. When God said it's settled. When God said I am, that's settled. When God said it's settled. I am, that's settled. Ooh, Jesus. Now, I notice right now that we're going to take us a rocket and we're going to the moon and we're going to observe and we're going to observe the sun and we're going to study the electric things that happen on the, but God say, I spoke it into existence and I can take it out. And that's what the Bible says to you and I. In that day, there will be a new Jerusalem coming down and the old one passing away. My God Almighty. There will be no more sun there. Oh, Jesus. Because the glory that he has will be the sun we need, the light we need. Can you imagine throughout eternity? Can you imagine, my dear beloved, when God comes back and take us home to be with him? My God Almighty, we would only be able to, we want to see the sun, the nine planets, the Milky Way, and but thereafter. But the Bible says we'll be able to think a thought and be right there at the moment. That's the kind of God we think. Eternity. That's what I'm looking at. My God Almighty. Oh, Jesus, you got me fired up here, sister. Oh, yes. Got me blowing my horn. Yes, indeed.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
See,
he gets the final say.
He gets the final. And see, the devil made a mistake. I said this some time ago. And I said, devil, God said this to me. He said that he'll let you back in heaven. He will? I said, yeah, he said, let you back in heaven. Oh, man, that's good. But the devil said, well, what I got to do? He said, you got to come and bow before his son. He said, oh, hell no, I ain't going to do that. Oh, you got it? No, see, he know he going to hell. He know he going to hell. He's already in hell. But he knows he can never get back on the other side. I mean, had an opportunity. But it was because of God's will. Eons and eons and eons. Oh, my God. But think about it. But think about it, though, prophets. What God said. There will be no sun of light, but the glory of God will be the light that's needed. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I mean, no matter how weak the heat is flowing, no matter how hard we look at it, from body to body, dust to dust, spirit to spirit, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. But I like what the Lord said. I am he who was, but I'm alive forevermore. My God. My God. my God, almighty, what a God we serve. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
And you know, one thing of, that the Lord blessed me with, we have to do some releasing of that God kind of faith. We have to release it. And when we release it, we can do like the word when it spoke to that fig tree, and God spoke to that fig tree. We have that same kind of faith, but it's up to us how to release it. Ain't got a fuss, ain't got a fight, just say it's a done deal.
Yeah.
And I told the person, I said, when I ask God for something, I believe he's going to send it to me. Yeah? I said, yes, I do. It's not on my time, it's on his. If God, there is no time. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? I said, no. God says he's not bound by time. We are bound by time. Because 120 years what he promised, but some might come out of the womb and die the next minute. But God is not a God of time. He does things in order. And so that's why I love him so much. And you know what? I hope and pray tonight. It's been a great night. I didn't upset you, little sister.
It's been a great night to me.
I can tell you the strength in your voice. Like Mama said, they got the whipping and whoop that.
Well, you know, I was super tired when I called in. But you remember when Mary went to go visit Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And the baby in Elizabeth's stomach jumped.
Yeah.
When the baby inside of Mary came into the room, the baby inside Elizabeth jumped. I think you made my baby jump tonight, Pastor Hunter.
Well, that's all right. That's good. That's what God is all about. And that's what God is feeling that he wants to jump. You got me fired up, too. You got me fired up. I'm talking about Abraham. Much I said about Abraham. I said, now, what road is she going down? I got to hear this. I got to hear this. And then you come on. Praise the living God. But you know what?
Well, in the New Testament, they call Abraham the father of faith.
Yes. 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 And that's why when we read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I've asked a question. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Does anybody know? Anybody know who wrote that book?
Well,
no.
Sure you do. Nobody
knows. Nobody knows. It is a collection of things throughout the Bible. They can't hardly, they've been trying to pinpoint it on Paul. I said, Paul, so I don't think so. But it's the Hebrews. God used some penmen to look at it. When you go and look at that, you're going to find he used some penmen of other men and women to write the book. He told the fullness of it was in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. And you go and said, in time past, God spoke to us by the who? The kings and the priests. But now I speak more excellent by my son, Jesus Christ. Now, who's writing this? God's writing. Oh, God, I believe. Now, that's me talking now. That's me talking. God began to speak and write those things. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I know that some we're supposed to have somebody that's coming on, but I'll be sitting there talking with you and enjoying what God is doing. But I know that we just got to stay on the mark, keep pressing in, setting the captive free from the prison, believing them to come out, and having to know that God is still God. And God's going to do what he says he's going to do. But one thing I've come to understand about the word of God, God is not a liar. I always say, I'm the liar. But God can't lie. God cannot lie. If he spoke it, shall he do it and make it good. That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
I don't have time to play with nobody. If a pastor don't want to serve God, and think about it, you got to serve the pastor. I know I ain't part of that. You got to serve the apostle. I'm not part of that. You're part of the apostle. I'm not part of that. Because I will hear what God is saying through you. I can make a determination in my spirit, man, because it's my spirit that's listening. If I can see what God is saying through you that advances me, I can hear what you're saying. You're the pastor. And I always say, my beloved sister, the gifts, they're gifts. They're a gift from God so that we can bring the body together. I told a man, he said, well, I'm an apostle and I'm ordained to be an apostle. I said, okay. I said, but it's nothing but a gift. What you mean that it's nothing but a gift? Because you're going to have to share that when you get to heaven. The Apostle Paul said, no, he said, I count it all as nothing, but what God has given me to do, I'm going to follow my instinct, my spiritual instinct. When you read the book of Colossians, you're going to find it says that I pray that God will strengthen you in your spiritual mind, in your spiritual body. And he does that because what God is doing for us in this time we now live in, God is not dependent on a man. He's still on the throne. But I told a person, I said, a man, a woman that say God's in charge, and you don't know who the son is, God is not in charge of your affairs. He's not in charge in your affairs because you don't know the son. When you know the son, you know the father. Because you got the father and you got the son. And you can say what you said. God's got it. Oh, man, ain't that good, my sister?
That's good. That's some good news.
And you know, I was telling a person the other day, I told them, I said, I like turnips. They said, you do what? I said, I like them. If they're cooked right, I can show you a lot of them. Why you want that? Because to keep my digestive system fertilized and keep stuff flowing and moving. And see, when I went to the doctor the other day, and the doctors went in and checked on me. And the doctor said, well, we found 2 years ago you had cancer. We couldn't find it. We just want to do a checkup. I said, doctor, same faith I had then, I have now. Send me on back. And they said, we got some new techniques we want to check. I said, I know y'all want to see you on checking on my body, but you can do it. But I know what my body is healed. My spirit man and told me that through the Holy Spirit. I'm healed. I am healed. It may not look like it, may not act like it, but I'm healed. I'm healed. When they told me, they showed me that was cancer, I said, no, that is not, that's not, no, no. That don't belong to me. I said, I'm sending it back to the devil. So when we take that kind of, when I took that kind of authority, I try to share it with everybody. The more you walk in this faith that we've been talking about, the more faith get ready to reside in you. And you can speak what God says, and God says a done deal. Like my 93-year-old aunt, they said, all of a sudden, she said, I'm tired, Lord. And the Lord called her home. You understand? I said, yes, I do. Everybody gets tired sometimes in the physical. But you have to remember, it's only God who can quantify you and qualify you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look at 33 and 6 months for Jesus. 33 years and 6 months he was up on the face of this earth. And something happened beyond understanding. Something beyond understanding happened. And what got me, I told a person, I said, when they, after them whipped him and beat him and scarred him all up, took him down from the cross and wrapped in a borrowed tomb, and all his body and everything, I said, when he was there, he said, in 3 days, I'll get out of the grave. And they said, oh, he's crazy, I don't know what he's doing. But in 3 days, because he gave the example. And when I tell somebody to go back and look at Lazarus, according to the Jewish tradition, in 3 days, the Jew priest could raise the dead. That's scripture. But God's son took 4 days to get into Lazarus. And on that fourth day, the sister jumped on him. Oh, my son, you'd have been here. My brother would be living, Lord. Oh, she cried like a baby. I heard Jesus probably shut up and listen. And all of a sudden, something happened. Here's my point. When they put him in that grave, during the time of that grave, there was no blood in his body. Point number one, no blood in his body. So where was the blood? Number two, where was the blood? Number three, how do you know? Number one, the blood was drained from his body, from the where they beat him. All of his blood was taken up and taken to the mercy seat. That's answer number two. Taken to the mercy seat. And the mercy seat where the blood of Jesus in the book of Revelation, and the mercy seat, that's where the blood of Jesus is, as a testimony to the nation and world and yet to come. It was to show the devil, no, he's done what he's going to do. So you see, the devil has some power in heaven, but not the God kind of power. Hallelujah. And so when he did that, and on the third day, he was able to walk through walls. A physical body couldn't do that. Help me, somebody. It could not do that. But the spiritual man could walk through those doors. That's why he told Thomas, Thomas, I know you don't believe, but I want you to do so I can help your faith. Put your hand right through here. And put your hand. He said, my Lord and my God. His faith increased, but his doubt descended. That's the kind of faith we have, my sister. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I just wait on the next person to come on. Or I just sit in. And if you want to go on, I'm going to sit in and wait on them and read some scriptures and just talk with the Lord and just see things that are getting better and getting better and getting better. But sometimes I get caught up in that. I get caught up in that sometimes.
Well, you know, we have to be excited about the God we serve.
Yeah.
He's something to be excited about.
I mean,
his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, he showers us with brand new mercy.
Yeah.
I don't care what we're feeling in our body. Every morning we wake up on this side of the dirt, as the senior people would say.
You got that right. On this side of the dirt. Yes, indeed.
Yes. And then when we can wake up with our right mind. A portion of my right mind.
Yes, indeed. But those old
that's
folks,
a good praise the Lord.
Yes.
Brand new mercy.
Amen. And see, like I told my wife, I said, baby, when I heard your daddy talk to God, I got nervous. Because when he got on his knees, prayed him out, he said, sir. He'd always say, sir, I need your help, sir. I never heard a man pray like that before. He'd always call him, sir. Sir. Can you hear me? Sir, I want to thank you what you did. Sir, thank you once again. Sir, I said, Lord, have mercy. That old man could pray, but he made sense to God because God answers prayer. He lived to be about 80 years old. See, God is a great God. He's a loving God. And one thing I say about Willie versus Willie, W.H. boy, we know God is good to us. We know God's good to us. Because what he's done for us. When I always look about to see all that green grass over there, it's like a little person told me some years ago. So that the lady said, I done told you once, don't walk on my grass. Little boy walked on the grass and walked back across it. Now, if you do that, get him a whoopee. He said, it don't belong. You belong to God, so shut up. Oh, boy. I said, old folk will tell me things like that. I said, what? The grass don't belong to me. Belong to God, so shut up and leave me alone. Walk up down there. But see, sometimes in those days, God had a way of speaking to people. Like old lady once said, I prayed by a bump last night. By a log last night, and I prayed. Somebody said, gee, she did what? Well, if you go back and look at Abraham, one of the men stepped on a rock. But God was still God. He ain't changed. He don't change for mankind. He's God. And the more we acknowledge it, the more the devil gets upset at us. And that's why we fight the good fight of faith and we keep walking it. Not diluting it, we take it fullness, full course. When he says, when he speaks the words, when he speaks the words, when we step, we see, one thing I always say, when we forgive while we are praying, forgive. I said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me if I miss her. Forgive me if I said the wrong thing to Valerie. Forgive me, Father, throughout this day. If I said something wrong, I have to do that every day of my life. Forgive me, Father. If I said I've done something wrong, spoken something wrong, looked the wrong way, or thought the wrong thought, forgive me. Forgive me that I might be your servant you want on this earth, man. Because if we're too close, Providence. We are too close to victory. Like I told the man playing football, we ain't got but 2 minutes in this game, and it's tied, 28-28. We got to make a choice. Are we going to kick it? Are we going to just bump it or what? I said, we got to run this thing all the way to the end. And everybody got to block. Everybody got to block. I go back and think about the young man. He prayed and believed God. But the devil decided. Now, it was in God's plan. The more we look at what God did through Chris, the more God got glory. And he's still getting glory. And the devil said, no, this one can't go because he knows too much. He knows too much about the truth. And we can't lie to him no more. So the best thing to do, since his flesh is going to die, let's go and make it happen. And the governor said, yeah, I'm not going to pardon him. And I said, what's wrong with America? A man take that plane. A man took that gun and shot a child 12 times with them bullets. And the child is still living, but the mother died, and the father. But God, that's, I don't want to, but see, my understanding is the God kind of faith. When God does something, he does it his way. I mean, just last night, pam, 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 12 times, the young child, but God. Body really would, but God had his hand right there saying, her flesh is going to be all right because I got my hands on her. Like I was telling some people about the young people that's with heart defects. I said, God's got this and we believe it. See, by what God wants you and I to do, and more of those to believe like God believes. When God say, when I ask a question of God, I ain't got no question. I said, Lord, where'd you come from? God said, I spoke myself into existence. You did what? Yep. I spoke myself into existence. And all I can do, sister, is say, well, Lord, you the bad man. I want to be on your team.
You know, I got a confirmation on that because I asked God that question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it says in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
God. It's in the beginning, God. So, you know, mm-hmm. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. You know, they came from God. I'm like, well, God, where did you come from?
Uh-huh. Man,
and before that was God the Father, before that was God the Son, before that was God the Holy Spirit. That was God.
That was God.
Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I say some things we just, I told this man in prison that today because he's a Buddhist. And I go in, I visit with one that says he's a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But I say the center of all of those different religions and faith is love. And they all believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm trying to understand this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That God would, you know, because all of these man-made things that we came up with, that is not God, it's man made.
Yeah. That's it.
Or we get some kind of revelation and we run and build a religion out of a revelation. But in the center thing is love. God shows himself in everything because he created everything.
He did. My God. An awesome God.
He said his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There is no searching of his understanding.
No.
Some things that we just cannot fathom in our own finite mind.
But God. And you know something else, sister? When I look at it, how did Jesus take that fish and that bread when I was on 2 and 5, I believe it was, and see, we saw the magnanimous of God's word working through his son. And the son that I was told, folks, I can do nothing except my father, so I can do it. And the more we look at what God was doing, God began to bring into reality. He said, give me what you have. I like this. Give me what you have in your hand. He took the bread and the fish and lifted up to heaven and watched God bless it. He said, now pass it out. Now that's supernatural right there, my sister. As God passed the bread and the fish, there was more than 7 full vessels of fish was picked up, bones, everything was picked up. 60,000 people over that two pieces of bread and the fish. And look at what God, see, God wants us to trust in him. God wants us to believe in him. God wants to say, I can do it if you just sit down and let me operate through you. We got another person on the line. Oh, how you doing this evening? You doing all right? Hello? Are you there? I see your number. This is Brother Hunter talking. We're having some fun. You want to join in with us? Hello? Praise God. Anyway, the devil know full well he's lost his race. All those people in the prisons are going to be released. All the things we see in America are going to be released. All these lies and robbers and thieves, they're going to be released. Because God's righteousness is overflooding. The fire out there on the West Coast, the floods on the East Coast, the storms that are going in the middle part and the water flushing up in different places all up on the East Coast, God is still in charge. But he knows how far to let the devil go. And it's the Holy Spirit that's putting a hand up there. And I told a person, I said, you read the Bible, you'll find it. It's the Holy Spirit that's God in this world. When he takes his hand off this world, that's when all hell is going to break loose. Why? I said, if you know the B-I-B-L-E, you can understand it. Because God has a way of doing it. It's God's way and not man's way. It's God's way of doing things that he does. When God does it, it's a done deal. It is a done deal. When God does it, it is a done deal. Amen, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Are you still online with the sisters? Is this a sister or brother? Are you there? Hello? Hello? Are you there? Anyway, I know we've got about 6 more minutes till the next person come on. And we're just going to have... See, we're having fun. We're glorifying God. To God,
yes, we are.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
Many times, Many times when we see what God is doing and God is saying it so that he blesses us beyond our understanding, the kind of God we serve is an awesome God. He makes it so possible for us that all we can say is, yes, Lord, I love you and I praise you and I love you and I adore you. I magnify your name and I thank you. See, there is a mega power that God has given to us. And the more we sit back and watch it, we can say our faith, our nation, our future, we can do what God told us to do. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, before I get off the line, I just want to pray. I just want to come with you in agreement. Gracious Father, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for the night, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this land. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives and in our hearts and in the midst of your people. Lord, it may look like we're defeated, but God, we know better. Because you are the one who sits high and you're the one who sits low. Father, you're the one that's still in control, Lord, and we declare, Father, our allegiance to you. I thank you, Father God, for your favor that is being poured out on your people. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're commissioning us to go into the highways and to the byways, Lord God, and to still compel men and women to come to you, Lord, to come to the throne of grace where we might find mercy. Lord God, I lift up people, Lord God, who are hurting, Lord God, on tonight. I lift them up, Father, those who, Lord, are struggling in their faith, Father. I lift them up before you, Father God, and I ask that you will move upon their behalf, that you would speak to them in the midnight hour, God, that you would visit them in their point of need. God, you are the healer, Lord. You are the deliverer, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we just touch and agree, Lord God, and declare your healing in minds and bodies and souls and spirits, Lord God, that you would heal on tonight, that you would deliver on tonight. For great are you, O Lord God, great. And great, you're greatly to be praised. You said that if you be lifted up from the earth, that you would draw all men unto you. So, God, even for those who don't know you, Lord God, who need to know you, Lord God, who are looking for answers, Father, in their life, Father, we ask you, Lord God, that they too will be able to say, once I was lost, but now I'm found. We cover each and every person with the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, in our neighborhoods and in our communities in this city, Father. Father, you have commissioned Pastor Hunter, Lord God, to have this meeting, Lord God, for revival, revival, revival. We pray, Lord God, and we thank you that the times of refreshing are coming. We pray, Lord God, that you would open up the spiritual heavens and begin to pour out your blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. Oh, God, I pray that you would forgive us of our iniquities and our sins and our transgressions. As Solomon bowed down to you, Lord God, and prayed, Lord God, for wisdom, Lord God. Father, we come to you knowing that in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We thank you for what you're doing on tonight. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. Right now, we've got the next person for me. Come on right now. And I believe she's from Dallas. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead. You got it.
Okay. I'm going to be brief again tonight. I just thank God for the opportunity to be able to just, you know, come on and just be able to share in the Word of God. I want to talk a little bit about the times in which we now live. I was going to discuss about churches that are being closed in China and in Rwanda due to different types of government criteria that are set forth for the church in these individual countries. We all know that in China have a lot of underground churches, and then there are those churches that are not underground that have to go by the laws that are set forth for the churches and those churches to be able to operate there in China, and they have to be registered churches. But in China, they're closing down not only just small churches, but, you know, they've closed down a mega church there in China. And also, there's we have the privilege of having Bible apps and able to download Bibles on our computers, on our mobile devices, on our tablets, you know, to have the Word of God readily available for us. But in China, they're also pulling online stores, pulling Bibles from the online stores. So it's beginning to be a little bit difficult in China as far as the gospel. And even though that they yet do these type of things, the church steady grows in China. So, and then in Rwanda, I can understand some of the stipulations that they are beginning to set for the churches in Rwanda because of the buildings are not up to code. They've had incidents where, you know, churches have fallen on people and have killed them. Just different things like that, and then, you know, hygiene, you know, where they have to have two bathrooms, and pastors being greedy and, you know, really not being, I would say they're not called of God because I wasn't there when they answered the call, but they're doing things that are not of God. And I can understand the need to control or have some type of control over how churches are formed and how they are organized. But then when it gets to the point to where really you're just picking on Christianity, it becomes a problem. But I just want to talk a little bit again tonight about in the times in which we now live in, coming out of the book of Matthew 24:1-14. I'm going to read some of that tonight. Matthew 24:14. And I hope y'all can hear me good.
Loud and clear. Want to turn it up for you? Want to turn it up for you?
trying to get. Okay, it says Matthew 24, the first verse says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For as these things must come to pass, but the end is not the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to talk a little bit about being prepared, preparing for what will be. Because right now we're just living in a time to where things are constantly unfolding as far as the Bible is concerned. The next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, if the world is here, things are going to continue to unfold. And the generations that are to come, they're going to be seeing things that maybe, you know, if some have passed on that they haven't seen. But the world is getting to a place to where things are just so much is going on. It's chaotic, chaos over here. It's famine over here. It's pestilence over here. It's wars over here. It's just so much is going on in the world today,
mm-hmm.
in which we live in. But we have to be prepared for what will be and for what is, because it's already been spoken about in the Word. We don't
mm-hmm.
have to fear being believers of what's going on. You know,
mm-hmm.
we just look and see. And we say, okay, that's just what Jesus said that will happen. It will come. The end is not yet, but these things must come to pass before the end will be. So the first thing I want to talk about, for those who are not believers and those who are struggling in their faith, you know, because there are those who are walking from the faith. You know, maybe because of the chaos that's going on in the churches, things that they see that they know that ain't of God, and how things are being allowed, and how, you know, some may look and say, I can't believe how God would allow this to go on in the church. But there are things that are happening, things that are going on and everything, and these things, they're going to happen. The Bible tells us, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. So with that being said, you have to, when you feel a tug on your heart and a drawing in your spirit to Christ, choose to accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. We're not to pick and choose people as our Lord and Savior. You know, people get confused when they go, you know, to the churches. You know, they begin to make the pastor, the bishop. They begin to make man their Lord and their Savior and not Christ. They begin to depend more solely upon what man is saying and not what the Lord is saying, not going to the Bible, not reading the Word for themselves. So a lot, you know, is going on with that. You know, I know of two people today that I pray for constantly, you know, because of their faith in Christ Jesus has been, that they've been, one has been hurt and disrupted because of things that they've seen in the church, and the other one just stopped believing. But when you feel that little tug on your heart, know that that is Christ, because the Bible tells us in John 6:44, no man can come to me, to Christ, except the Lord, which
mm-hmm.
has sent
mm-hmm.
me, draw them. And John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So choose to accept Christ. Accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. Choose to accept him. Number two, choose to believe God and that there is only one God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You know, we have to we just have to get in that place with God to where we can say that I know that God is God. I know that there is only one God. And it's good to have your own personal references of who God is in your own personal life. You can't live off of somebody, what somebody else says about God. you have to have your own personal reference so you can look back, so you can say, hey, I know that there is a God, because when this, that, and that happened to me, could nobody have either gotten me out of that situation, delivered me from that situation, or could have helped me through that situation but God, because man did not do it. So you have to have your own personal reference to know God, to believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So you have to choose to believe God, and you have to choose to surrender completely to God and know that he has a plan for you. Know that he will go with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. So you have to choose to believe and choose to surrender to God. And you have to choose to stay in the race. Choose to stay in the race. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong.
Let's give it to him.
And I know that in Ecclesiastes it says something else. But you have to stay in this race. Stay in the race. Because there's no competition in this race. In a normal race, you're racing against somebody. You know, you got a person on your left, you got a person on your right. But in this race, there's nobody on your right, there is nobody on your left. But there's a crown ahead of you. So therefore, you have to continue to stay in the race. Now, there's going to be some things that happen, there's going to be some things that occur in the race. But you got to stay in the race. You have to stay in the race, because Hebrews 12:1 tells us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So with that patience, because we're not going to, you know, we live in a society now where everything is fast, gimme, got to have it now, So everybody's lost patience because they're not getting it right then and there. And sometimes you can feel yourself getting caught up because I don't have it right now, but knowing and believing that God is God, and that God is going to give you the desires of your heart, knowing that, hey, you know, you may be afflicted now, but just have that patience, stay in the race. And the second verse in Hebrews tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So if Christ endured his cross, and he tells us, pick up your cross and follow after me. Now, I don't know what's on your cross. You don't know what's on my cross. We don't know what each other have to bear, what each other have to go through. But there's some endurance when we pick up that cross. We're going to have to endure some things as a good soldier. And keep on with that cross. We can't put that cross down, but we have to continue to stay in the race, continue, because, again, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be there with you. You may not all the time see him or fear him, but know that Christ is there. Know that God is there. I was talking to somebody about not too long ago, about how when we're at the Holy Spirit had ministered to me about when you're on a job and you have to learn how to work with supervision and with no supervision. So when you're working with supervision, that means that the supervisor is there for you. The supervisor is on hand for you to answer any questions that you may have, to resolve any problems you may have, to discuss any issues you may have. The supervisor is really available. But when the supervisor is called away, that supervisor has equipped you to be able to continue in your position the duties that the supervisor has required of you. So it's the same way with God. When you don't feel God, God is yet there because God has equipped you. That's why the word is there. The word is there to equip you, to keep you steady, to give you strength, to keep you focused, to keep you grounded. So the word is there readily. It's right there. All you have to do is continue in faith press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't let go of the cross. When you pick up that cross, say, I'm going to stay in this race no matter what. And you have to choose to gird yourself. Gird up. Bible tells us to gird up the loins of your mind. And I want to read a little of that from the Amplified Bible, coming from 1 Peter 13. 1 Peter 1 and 13. And 14, he says, so brace your minds. Be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope holy and unchangeable on the grace, divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Live as children of obedience to God and not conform yourself to the evil desires that govern you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the God. And you have to make sure that you have on your whole armor. Never, in this day and time, never take off your armor. When you go to bed at night, make sure you have on your armor. When you, whatever you're doing, make sure that you keep your armor on, because that armor is going to help you, because the Bible tells us when you've done all that you can do, you're to stand. The devil ain't going nowhere yet. So he's prepared for battle, and we have to stay prepared for battle. Stay prepared for it. So I hope that I have said something that would have encouraged somebody, because in this day and time that we live in, things it's just the Bible just revealing itself. The Bible is coming forth. Every word that the Lord spoke is coming to the front. So we cannot take down because of what we see. We can't become fearful of what we see. You know, even those things that I said earlier were happening in China and happening in Rwanda, and then Cameroon is thinking about falling suit behind Rwanda. What if those things were to begin to happen over here in America? Are we going to take down, you know, is we going to be cowards? Because it's already written in the Word. So we're going to have to stand. We're going to stand with that whole armor of God on, knowing that God is with us, that he's not going to forsake us, knowing that whatever we see, whatever persecution, because, you know, we talk about being persecuted, but America have not seen real persecution. So therefore, persecution, when it comes knocking at your door, are you going to be able to stand? Are you going to faint? You have to pick and choose, but Jesus prepared us over 2,000 years ago for what is now and for what will be. And we have to stay prepared. We can't say, well, they've been saying that Jesus was going to come ever since I was born. I remember them being saying that he still ain't came yet, you know. So he's coming because it's written in the Word of God. And the things that were said of him, it's right before us. It's coming to pass. So therefore, we have to be prepared again for what will be and prepare for what is now. So again, I hope I've said something to encourage somebody.
Amen.
And I'm going to relinquish my stand.
You have said something tonight that were very scriptural input. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and may he continue to bless you with the word. I've noticed you spent 19 minutes. Every time you get stronger and stronger and stronger in the word of God. And that's what it's about. It's a faith builder. It's God moving in and out. And we want to thank God for you tonight and for the work you've done. And for those who have listened, may the Lord bless you and keep you until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless you.